grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this Sunday, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. When I was a little boy, one of my favorite Christmas carols was Good King Wenceslas. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen, the Feast of Stephen being the day of St. Stephen the first martyr, which is the day after Christmas. You may remember that in this carol, in the form of a conversation between King Wenceslas and his servant boy, this poem very simply and I think in a delightful way reflects the kindness and the generosity of good King Wenceslas to the poor of his kingdom. This carol was written by John Mason Neal, who was one of the more amazing Christians in 19th century England. Dr. Neal was a historian, a poet, and a superb translator of the old Greek and Latin hymns. No Easter would be complete without Neal's translation of those two Greek Easter hymns we know as the Day of Resurrection and Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain of Triumphant Gladness. But Dr. Neal was not only a poet and a scholar, he was also chaplain in a home for elderly poor people, and he also formed a community of nursing sisters to care for the poor. And we are told that when Dr. Neal explained the Bible to those nursing sisters, they saw Christ and Christ only in every chapter from Genesis to Revelation, from the very first book of the Bible to the very last. They saw Christ and Christ only in every chapter from Genesis to Revelation. In doing that, Dr. Neal was very much like Dr. Luther, who said that the scriptures are the manger where Christ is laid. Take Christ out of scripture, and what more will you find in them? The scriptures are the manger where Christ is laid. Take Christ out of scripture, and what more will you find in them? Christ is the key to understanding the whole Bible, not only the New Testament, but also the Old, because the whole Bible speaks of Christ. The Lord Jesus himself taught us to understand the scriptures in this way. For St. Luke tells us that on the evening of the first Easter day, as the Lord Jesus walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And when later that evening he appeared to all the disciples, he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And St. Luke adds, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." And so, in the great prophets and holy men of the Old Testament, in its prophets, priests, and kings, and in its temple, we catch glimpses of Christ, who is himself the one true prophet, the one true priest, the one true king, and who is himself the living temple where God dwells bodily. But what are we to make of all those terrible events recorded in the Old Testament? What are we to make of those truly blood-curdling and hair-raising stories? The answer is that in them we are shown beyond a shadow of a doubt fallen humanity's need for Christ. And we see him even in such a gloomy Old Testament book as the one called Ecclesiastes, with its exceedingly dreary refrain, "Vanity of vanities, and all is vanity," says the preacher. Because here we are shown the futility of life apart from that new and eternal life which dawned from the open tomb. In the words of St. Paul, "Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Note that St. Paul doesn't say, "written for my instruction, that I might have hope." No, St. Paul writes, "written for our instruction, so that we might have hope." And the point is that we can only rightly understand the scriptures when we read them not as isolated individuals in our own little worlds, but when we read them as members of the holy people of God, of the church, the communion of saints. And that includes not just the Christians who happen to be alive in the world today. It includes those who are even more truly alive in God, the saints in light, who through their witness continue to guide us in the right understanding of the Bible. The scriptures are written so that we might have hope. And so we read the scriptures not as isolated individuals, but as members of Christ's mystical body, which is the whole church in heaven and on earth. And that's why we have the creeds and the catechism in which the church shows us Christ. Dr. Luther said, take Christ out of scripture, and what more will you find in them? The scriptures are the manger where Christ is laid. When John Mason Neal expounded the scriptures, his hearers saw Christ and Christ only in every chapter from Genesis to Revelation. And when we forget that Christ is the content of Scripture, what the Scriptures are really all about, then we're vulnerable to all kinds of confusion and strange notions that are here today and gone tomorrow. And because Christ is the content of the scriptures, the Bible is a book of hope. Just as St. Paul says in his letter to the Colossian Christians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And hope is one of the great themes of this holy season of Advent. To be sure, in the Gospel for this second Sunday in Advent, the Lord Jesus does say, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world. But then the Savior goes on to say, now when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The coming again in glory of Christ to bring to completion that work of love begun in the stable at Bethlehem. In the epistle for this day, St. Paul shows us how that mission to the Gentile nations, which was prophesied in the Old Testament, was in fact being fulfilled in his own preaching of the gospel, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And so, when we see how the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled, we find encouragement to hope that God's promises to us will also be fulfilled. And so in this Advent season, we are especially conscious of the hope that Christ will come again. And this Christ who will come again is no stranger. He is our Lord, He is our Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. We know him as Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,